magnitude of endless possibility.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, whoever's listening to Watchers of the Plus, you found me, your host, Sam Adams. Sam, student about media, ready to bring ready to bring the hot takes about MODOK, Army of the Dead, and whatever Mose is sipping on tonight. Mose, how you doing?
I'm doing well. This is Coors Light on ice, my staple of on Sunday night. Mose standing for man of
zero education. No,
there we go. That's perfect.
I think that might be one of my favorite little sly things about MODOK, was finding out that the children's names also have acronyms or what assigned to them.
Man, there was a lot there. You know, okay. So we're going to start with MODOK. I do want to talk about Army of the Dead, because that was another big release, and it has ties to the MCU in its own special way.
And a Snyder Cut reference, apparently, I missed, that I just read about today.
Oh, yeah, my
you
God.
Have to read, if you want to understand that movie, you're going to have to read a lot, because it does explain a lot.
There's a lot of Imagineering. First of all, I was never really the biggest fan of Robot Chicken, and it was one of those things that eclipsed me. I just wasn't part of that generation at the time.
Yeah, I liked it, but I never watched it religiously. It was more like you'd find the Star Wars clips they would do, or you would watch some, you know, I would get a kick out of the superhero ones or stuff like that, but it wasn't something that I watched, you know, like, oh, the new Robot Chicken's on.
Well, I think for me, it was like a nostalgia thing. It was a guy's thing, because it was, I saw like these, like Mego action figures from back in the day. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're animating them. That's genius. I mean, it's like, why, you know, like, it's basically, I'm like, you know, if we had that technology when we were kids, we would be, you know, you could do that, but you were doing it in your head. Mm-hmm. However, MODOK, by his nature, is the most like ridiculous looking, unassuming villain ever. That doesn't seem very, I mean, he seems evil, but like in a Cabbage Patch Kid kind of way. Like it just like
Pinky and the Brain evil.
Yeah. And like, but like, even I remember looking at comics of him. I'm just like, this guy is so fucking ugly. Like, and just nasty looking, and but like so weak looking, like he's just got baby arms and baby legs and this giant head. And but like, I think this spin on it and utilizing a character that is so like, probably, I don't know, like, you know, I don't want to say bargain basement, but he's not like somebody that I would have. I mean, there's going to be somebody out there be like, oh, well, actually, MODOK is whatever. Okay, that's fine. You take your tales of suspense and whatever and shove it up your ass. Let's just face facts. The guy just doesn't look that strong. However, I lost the plot. I only watched about 5 episodes, and I started to kind of lose it, because you really can't, I don't think it's good for you to watch it straight through.
Yeah, no, I watched the first 2 the night it came out, because it ended up being out a little bit earlier than midnight. Like, I was still up, and I was like, oh, I was like, I'm going to watch a couple of
these. I know, you texted me. I was like, geez.
And, well, it was a weird week at the Adams house. I got what I thought was food poisoning and was sick to all no ends on Tuesday night, Wednesday. And then my fiance caught it 2 days later, and we're like, okay, well, obviously that wasn't food poisoning. So she took care of me for about 36 hours. I took care of her for about 36 hours. Today's the first day we're both kind of feeling normal again. So, you know, our sleep schedules have been way off. I took a sick day. So, you know, I was just kind of up late and checked it out, and I wasn't feeling the first 2 episodes, and I couldn't figure out why. I texted you about it, and you had seen maybe 3 or 4 and mentioned that it obviously, if you've watched it, it leans very heavy into the anti-corporation message. You know, it obviously thinks corporations are the devil. Oh,
and that's the most delectable part.
Yeah. And, you know, once I kind of got into the headspace of he's kind of Homer Simpson, and it's a little bit of a family comedy with some grown-up tones of like dad trying to have the kids over for the weekend yes. in his shitty apartment and stuff. And once I kind of got into that more family friendly kind of headspace and took the, you know, understood it wasn't going to be Rick and Morty. It wasn't going to be Harley Quinn. I was expecting a little more R-rated and a curse in it. You know, it's not, but I think that Patton Oswalt is obviously one of those guys that he's not just going to say shit to say shit. He's going to make sure that there's a joke behind it. And there are a lot of visual gags in this. You know, whether it's just little things like them going to arcade, you know,
or Third Eye Blind concert.
Yeah, no, I was, I hate to admit that I liked some of those songs.
But there's like, you're allowed to like them. I mean, they had some great tunes. But, you know, I think for me, like when they started crossing, you're right. There's this like, this is actually almost a subversive show. It is about MODOK, but it's not really. It is transplanted, like stereotypes inside of a sprinkled covering veneer of Marvel. But you know, with the idea of AIM being acquired by a big tech company and you didn't read the fine print. And for me, being inside Silicon Valley is to understand, to see, like, for example, like the cereal dispensers and the bitching about what cereals you have and the variety of cereals that are there. It's hilarious if you've looked at Silicon Valley, you'll understand the reference. But if you are inside the industry, it becomes even more hilarious because there's levels that I think some people will really love. And that will like, oh wow, that really hit home to me. And then there are others that may not register at all, but that registered for somebody else, which actually for me, I think that's a pretty good tell for a good show when it can hit a bunch of different audiences in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a hard time getting into it at first. And then the third episode is really what won me over. And I know I texted you. I was like, MODOK is teaching me how to catfish people, or not catfish. Gaslight.
Yes.
That's because I have always been a little confused as to what the hell gaslighting actually is. Cause it's, you know,
was this during the golfing match?
Yeah. And okay. He's, you know, he's saying, you know, oh, that one guy is self-conscious about his weight, so compliment the other two about how they look skinny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just real psychological warfare is what you, what gaslighting is.
Yeah. Well, so. And I'll be honest with you. So I'm obviously I'm only on the fifth one and we have 10 of them. Mm-hmm. We got a little bit of John Hamm in the beginning as Iron Man. I have yet to see Wonder Man.
A little surprised there that we haven't seen more anything really. I mean, they make references like we're going to go steal Captain America's shield, but mm-hmm. then it's just a drunken night where they end up going to the meatloaf barn or whatever.
I mean, these ideas, these concepts are so ridiculous and yet so like just fun.
Yeah, like the unlikable guy that doesn't know he needs friends, that gathers a group of friends together and then realizes how important they are to him type of thing. And at the end of the night, he sacrifices his wants to maintain that friendship. And it's weird, you know, that's the thing. I wasn't expecting like moral, happy little lessons from MODOK. I was expecting much more smart-ass, you know, Rick and Morty, slide kind of jokes and making fun of the genre. And they do, you know, obviously there's, but it's really not that actiony, you know, there's a few action scenes in it, but not
really the first episode in the first, like, I want to say 5 minutes. That's the action.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little fight between him and the, scientist
and Iron Man.
Yeah. And, you know, even when it's the scientist, colleague of his, the lady, she, at one point it turns into like anime and it doesn't even stay in the same animation format. Yeah. So I obviously it's not going to be a show about action. I mean, I wonder when we're actually going to see Wonder Man. And it's funny because if you go on the IMDb, all the credits are still wrong. Like it says like Nathan Fillion, Wonder Man, 9 episodes. But I mean, obviously maybe he's in 9 episodes doing different voices because this is probably a pretty diverse voice cast.
That might make sense.
Yeah, because like I think John DiMaggio's in it. And I love Sam Richardson, one of my favorite Sams, the one-armed AIM henchman. Gary.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many, I think probably if I were to take a guess and I were to ask like Robot Chicken people, like what, you know, what was your big, you know, why did you like the show? And it's probably has everything to do with like, it's the little things that are dropped within a show that make it. It's not necessarily the entire show. It's the little pieces that make up the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think overall it's good. I have only gotten, like you said, halfway through. So, you know, we'll see if it sticks the landing. I have a feeling that maybe like Legion, this could be a very self-contained one season thing.
And I'm okay with that. Yeah, I really am.
You know, there's some time travel shenanigans in like the first episode. So that's not much of a spoiler. So, you know, obviously this is something where all this could be erased and could never have happened.
So what I think I need to tell everybody right now is if you think that somehow Mephisto is going to be in this.
He is.
And John Krasinski.
Now, John Krasinski is Mephisto.
Okay.
Stretching around. So I don't know if that means it.
Right. So if you're looking for some sort of like interlock between all the MCU films within this Hulu show, this is the one you want to watch because it definitely has, it's going to interlock everything. Every answer that you want, you're going to get out of this show. Right.
Speaking of John Krasinski, did you see the like drama behind the 3-second clip of Emily Blunt being asked about the Invisible Woman this week?
I think I did, but go ahead and tell me anyway.
It started off with just this 3-second clip of being like rolling her eyes and be like, yeah, you're the third person to have asked me about it. I am. And then they cut it off. But then when you watch the whole clip, her and the interviewer are actually having a pretty good time. And he goes like, hey, I'm from this comic book thing, so I have to ask you some nerd stuff. And she's like, it's fine. And then she actually gives a very nice question of like, you know, oh, I haven't, you know, it's fan casting's great. And I appreciate that everyone wants me in it. You know, I haven't been called. So, I mean, talk to your boy, Kevin Feige, if you want me in it. Part of me thinks she's trolling. But it was just funny seeing how the internet got whipped into a flame of, oh my God, look at the Shield never do this because look at this reaction. And then someone goes, oh, well, here's the whole clip.
When did anybody give this much of a two shits about the Fantastic Four? Or is it just John Krasinski?
I think part of it is just that they were so perfect in a sci-fi couples thing. Like, I mean, I saw... Not Get Out.
We're talking about Quiet Place. Okay.
Yeah. I saw a Quiet Place and instantly had the same thought everybody else. I was like, oh my God, he would be great as a bearded up Reed Richards. She would be great as a strong Sue Storm. You know, he could write, he can direct. She's a good actor. You know, she was in the time travel movie with Mission Impossible Boy.
Rinse, Repeat and Kill
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, live, kill, die, whatever. Yeah. You know, so it's funny to hear her say she may not want to be interested in comic book movies when she was in that. But
let me just tell you the great equalizer on that. Mm-hmm. If Marvel says we will give you $30 million to do it, I guarantee that she's going to be okay with it.
Yeah, I was going to say flame on, but she doesn't have a version of that. Right. So.
It doesn't matter. Like, oh, that's an extra $10 million. You can be the
human torch. It's check cash in time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. And that's the only reason I don't mind Marvel being owned by Disney is because they're at a point now where they're just hit makers. And they're like, hey, look, we will make you some money. You know, you can get it on the front end or you can get it on the back end like RDJ. We'll figure out a way to get you paid and come on in here and make this thing.
Excited about this. How do you think the financing went to have? You know, it's just surprising to me. Well, first of all, it was surprising to me that MODOK was a full 10 episode dump. But like, why not put it on Disney Plus? Is it because of the shits?
You know, and that's why I thought it was going to be a little more risky and R-rated. And yeah, there's, you know, weird risky.
But they gave it an MA. I mean, it's an MA, like straight up and down. And I'm like, I don't know about MA. That's a little strong there, guys.
Yeah, maybe we're getting a little desensitized to our cartoon violence or something. You know, it's the invincible of it all. But yeah. I was a little surprised that they felt that this needed to be. Maybe it's just an old deal, though, too, because I think they had struck these deals to put them on Hulu back when they, you know, back when they, I think they were going to do Howard the Duck and a few other. And this is like the only one that made it through development hell or whatever. So maybe it's just an old, maybe it was part of the buying Fox that it still had to release on Hulu and it could end up on Disney Plus down the line. I don't know. I mean, maybe this was kind of an FX Hulu type of thing or something. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think that if you really aren't sure what to do with these shows, that like, I think the Amazon model is probably the best, to dump like three or four of them to start and then release weekly, because now it's, you know, people are going to talk about MODOK for like a week and I like it. I don't think it's going to be some show that's like,
it's going to link everything. Everybody's going to be dissecting this. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. When Evan Peters shows up as Mephisto Jr.
That's right.
So yeah, no, I don't, like I said, maybe this ends up being one of those things that can be self-contained as just a one season thing. So who cares?
But on the Family Guy, like genre, those kinds of beats, I'm not a Family Guy watcher, so it's hard. But so let's just say Rick and Morty. I could see where they could extrapolate these family type stories with super villainy and big tech. It seems like it might have legs for another season. You know, if I'm Patton Oswalt, I mean, this is voice acting. It's not as if he's got to get into a studio for a while. And it's relatively inexpensive to do. I'm going to be kind of naive on that end, but it seems like if you have a good story and people somehow take to the character, and I think that's what I want to see in the next like couple weeks. If I start seeing like pictures of MODOK online and like funny little things, or we start seeing the little meme action, I think this might have something to it. Now, again, I don't know how this ends, or this season ends, but it could conceivably have something that maybe all the other Marvel shows thus far really don't have. Is there Falcon Winter Soldier 2? Maybe, but maybe not. WandaVision 2? I kind of doubt it.
Well, I think it helps to have one of these little animated corners that don't really connect to everything, that you can make fun of stuff. You know, obviously they're taking stuff from the comics, they're taking stuff from the movies. I mean, the Avengers Tower looks just like the one from the movies, but yet, you know, Iron Man is John Hamm, you know, thing. So John Hamm must be pretty decent voice rate, because he shows up in so many little things, like
he's
security guard and Invincible, you know, it's just stuff like that where you're like, that's weird. He did 3 1-minute scenes in Invincible. That's strange.
Yeah, it was weird. Somebody was actually, I forget, I saw online, I can't remember where it was. Somebody was just saying like, how do I, you know, get into the voice acting field? I was like, dog, you missed your opportunity, because now it's been locked up by all the stars. Like you're not getting in there.
Yeah, the closest thing I saw is that you can audition for audiobooks on like Amazon, but I mean those will pay you a few $100 an hour maybe.
Because it's, well, think about it. We're talking about Patton Oswalt, and ultimately what we're looking at is a live action kind of cartoon, but it's the names that are attracting us.
Mm-hmm. And we'll think about it. I think that
even
Patton Oswalt being attached to it probably gets a John Hamm in the door or something like that, where they go like, oh, Patton is hilarious. Like, you know, John Hamm, I know, is a guy that likes comedy and shows up on comedy podcasts and stuff. So like, I'm sure that was like an in there. And, you know, who else? I mean, well, it's really a pretty star-studded cast. I mean, you got
What is the guy who played John Raphael in?
I was just going to say John Raphael. I can't ever remember his actual name, and it's not Ben Schwartz. I can't. He's one of those guys I can almost not separate the character from.
It's almost impossible. Which is kind of interesting. Now it kind of lends me to think, like, if I'm not mistaken, Hulu originally started. Wasn't it NBC that kind of started it?
Yeah, it was one. I think it was a joint venture. It was like NBC, Fox, and ABC. Because Disney was part of it. So I think those were the three that were kind of the main ones that started. Because I remember when I first found out about Hulu, I was like, "Wow, look! I can watch all these different shows on here.
Yeah,
this is amazing." So, I think it was first owned by three companies, and then one of them, backed out or merged or something. I think somehow NBC must have got out or something.
It almost kind of is slightly perplexing because, you know, like, well, I mean, I think John Raffio and Patton Oswalt's like big monologue on Park and Rec where he's talking about, you know, Wolverine, the Infinity Gauntlet, he's filibustering.
Oh, where he's trying to get Star Wars to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, you got it. But I mean, that became kind of a classic thing. But again, that was Park and Rec. That was, you know, an NBC, you know, property, which I was like, you know, It made me think about, like, you know, why, I wonder why this couldn't have gone to Peacock. I'm glad it didn't.
I heard there's a show on Peacock we have to watch.
Oh, geez.
It's the newest Tina Fey offering. And I am a disciple of the 30 Rock Church. So I usually give anything she makes a chance. And there's a show on Peacock called Girls Five Ever. It's like a girl's, basically a Spice Girls that never really made it.
Oh, that's the one with friggin' Busy Phillips.
Probably, yeah. Yes, I'm not it sure. Is. Yeah, so, yeah. But I've heard that it's worth checking out. So I will
let you walk through those gates first.
I've never peacocked before.
Well, as long as it's free, I cannot pay for one more.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not signing up. Every time my fiance looks at me about Paramount Plus, I'm like, you can miss that challenge season. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I think Google
who wins every week.
I think some of these services, I believe, are going to end up re-merging because.
Yeah. I think some of them are just trying to get their maybe almost kind of get a valuation. Yeah. On what their library is worth. And then, you know, you look at who was sniffing around James Bond recently is, you know, I think it was Netflix maybe was thinking about buying the James Bond catalog or that, you know, whole thing. You know, HBO is getting spun off to Discovery Plus somehow. So we'll see how that, who'd have thought that Discovery was more valuable than HBO Warner Brothers? That blows my mind. The fact that that company that makes 90 Day Fiance and I don't people even want to disparage any more show.
Sam, I've got three people.
Because it costs nothing. They don't have to write it. I was talking to my fiance. I'm like, I wonder how many film days they actually film these yahoos out here. They probably film for like 10 days and then they get a season's worth of content out of it. They, you know, tell them what to say and just, it's just producers, yeah. Just, you know, there's probably four people that are making money off that show. I watch them. There'll be people that'll be on the show, these stupid shows for 3-4 seasons and they're still broke. And I'm like, you've been on TV for 4 years. You didn't pay your debts by now. At least, like, what are they paying you guys?
Well, I don't know what they're paying them. Maybe not as much.
Peanuts.
As you think.
Yeah. Peanuts is what they're paying them. They must get them locked into some kind of 6-season deal where, like, oh, we have all these options to have you come back and then you can't negotiate for any money because there's 12 people on every season. And if we lose one, who cares? We'll pick up some new crazy lady that's looking for a husband from Kuwait.
I'm telling you, yeah, I'm telling you.
Doesn't understand their differences whatsoever.
Because the most, like,
it's like modern day freak shows, some of these shows. I'm like, oh, I feel bad.
Well, it's like that, it's like that little, I can't remember his name now, and you know, the guy with no neck and
Ed.
See? Ed. Yeah. I mean that guy's literally, it's essentially internet famous.
Yeah. What good is it gonna do him? Yeah, it's.
But
I hate that I know who he is. That's the product of having a fiance. It's the downside of this. I know who he is. I know his current dating situation. Well, she just watched the tell-all the other day. Luckily, I think she watched most of it while we were up here last week, so I didn't get subjected to too much.
Well, I was reviewing some of my bank statements, and I saw like we got $13 from Amazon. I was like, we haven't ordered anything from Prime Video. And then it was like $19.99. I was like, what? And I was like, guys, who's ordering DVDs or videos from Prime? Mm-hmm. And Angie raises her hand. She says, well, yeah, I mean, I did get the latest season of 90 Day Fiancé or Love After Lockup. And I was like, you've got to be shitting me.
You bought it?
See what I'm saying? But see, that's what I'm saying. No. Like, think about it. They get you in such a way that they can squeeze an extra little ounce out of you. And that's actually kind of a probably big, pretty ounce.
Well, and that's one of the things with this whole Discovery Plus is that it's annoying because it's not as great an app as people would say. You know, like I it has all the Anthony Bourdain show on there, but you know, there's cooking shows that have gone on there and there's only one season of it or things like that. I'm like, why wouldn't you have your whole catalog up here? But that they'll have shows that people watch that are spinoff shows that are only available on Discovery Plus. So then you have to watch it. You know, you're paying for your cable to get Discovery and then you're getting the app, or there you're saying screw it and just going to the app, you know, full time, and they just get your money directly. So,
I figured it out. Okay. You know, similar to iOS and Android games, they figured out like the psychology to get you to buy into, like, for example, the sugar crush. Okay. Like eventually you're like, okay, I'll give you $1.99. But they have figured out the game, and it's like it's a little bit of a puzzle box. They get you into the maze, and there's angles to where you could watch this if you do this.
Well, or you know what I've noticed with the advertising with those, especially those games, is they always show people doing it wrong. And it drives me nuts because it's like some puzzle where it's like, do you open up this thing with the water or this thing with the lava? Yep. And they open up the lava and their little avatar guy gets on fire. And it makes me want to download it and go, this idiot, you do this. And it's just like, I've stopped myself a couple times.
I'm telling you, I think there's a really like Illuminati level, like they have hired psychologists and just to understand how to get people to extract money.
Well, I think they've just gotten better at understanding what we want to. Yeah. You know, I was at the store today and there was all this Friends stuff. You know, there was a Friends coffee mug and stuff. And hey, I like Friends.
I went to Hot Topic and there was like the old, like it was like the cast, but they were all old. I was like, why would you want that?
That I don't like to talk about people's looks. That's rude, but that cast they didn't look like they were ready to do a reunion show. It looked like they were ready to sit on the couch and talk about the show and maybe have a donut. I was a little surprised and I was like, wow, they for all of them still pretty much being in TV.
Well, but
two-thirds
really
of them look like melted candles.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's Lisa Kudrow done?
Well, she had that show on HBO about like being an internet psychiatrist or something like that.
I don't buy it.
But that wasn't super long lasting. I mean, I think she had a few appearances on Veep.
Okay. Well, obviously. So, I mean, that's not a lot.
Yeah. So, well, why don't we get to the thing we didn't exactly love?
Army of the Dead. So,
Zach, he's back at it. My buddy Zach, just up to his old tricks again.
I mean, if you love a little bit of desaturation, some slow mo, and narrow depth of field, which you're going to hear all over the internet, then this movie is for you. I will let me start out by saying what I really thought really was good. I liked this idea of when new zombies and new types of mythos on the zombie has occurred.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite part, was that they advanced that a little bit, but,
and let me just say, there was a lot of story there that wasn't explained at all. But but Dave Bautista, ever since 2049, I think has been he's underrated and undervalued as an actor.
He's a legit action star.
Yes.
From this movie. Like, I was like, wow, I would watch him like I would The Rock or somebody like that. And just, I'd go to watch him be a badass somewhere. And he's a good actor. You know, you can see he's acting. He's not just giving you the same face over and over again. He's, you know, and I like that he's not super vain. I mean, he's veiny muscle wise, but you know, he'll put on glasses to read the schematics and yes. He'll do something to add a little something to his character, even if the, you know, the plot refuses to, but
yeah. Well, and here's the thing, like Dave Bautista, like this is where I can put on my wrestling hat for a second. And I can give you insights that you don't know about.
Yeah. So, see, I know, I just know that he used to be a wrestler. That's about where my knowledge ends.
And I was never really a part of when he was wrestling. However, I can tell you that he's probably not going to ever get in the ring again. And I did hear something about, after Guardians 3, he's done with anything with his shirt off because he's now reached the point where like of diminishing returns, like, you'd have to, it's like he doesn't want to be on the HGH for the rest of his life in order to maintain that physique. So mm-hmm. I think this is, these are the kind of good jump off points for him to kind of showcase other talents that he can give good face.
Yeah. Like I would see him in other things. I think that he has, he's put on the makeup long enough. He'll do it.
Yeah.
For the, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and who knows, maybe the Christmas special, he'll make a little appearance or something. But yeah, he deserves to put his shirt on. He deserves a break.
I did enjoy.
He threw a craps table.
Yeah, yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean,
spoilers, everybody. Spoilers.
the craftiness of Zack Snyder in the beginning with the montage, basically explaining without words where all these people kind of came from, that they all know each other based on the aftermath of what happened in Vegas. However, it doesn't really explain to me why Dave Bautista is a grill cook. It seems like he's a little bit more, he has more experience than being a grill cook. And then to put a crew together is super trope number 47.
I felt like I was waiting for someone to say, "You son of a bitch, I'm in," like from the Rick and Morty episode.
Exactly.
Like it was so cringe crew worthy.
Well, Tig Notaro basically did do that.
Yeah. I mean, it was like the MacGruber crew, which that's one of my favorites parts of MacGruber.
So I really did appreciate that. Now, something you had said to me in text, and you stated something to the effect of that the zombie that we initially, the point, the origin point, may have been something from space. Now, I swear to you, that occurred to me, and I don't know where it did. I think that there is something very, very subtle in the very beginning where that is talked about.
They do say something about they're coming from Area 51.
That's so what it is.
They're speculating, but they don't know what's in there. So, like, do you think it's alien? Do you think it's, do you think it's whatever? Like, do you think it's an animal? I forget. I wasn't paying that close of attention at the beginning. I zoned out that first little bit, but a good sign. That's the only reason I got in. And as I was asking you questions, because I kind of started live tweeting Mo's the second half of the movie. I watched it in two chunks, and he had already watched it. So I was like, okay, I'll just mind dump all my complaints here while he's doing something today. I decided to look at the Wikipedia, and at one point, it's at the beginning, it says, "This alien human zombie hybrid from Area 51 escapes." And I was just like, where did it say that? Like, I didn't get that. And then there was another point where I noticed at one point they shoot a zombie and he had a metal skull. And I was like, I kind of was like, maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking
about. Oh, that's the alpha. That was the guy. That was the
No, not the guy with the metal outside of his head. There was a guy where they shot him, his head exploded, and he had almost like a Terminator looking skull.
I saw that. I thought I saw that.
I don't think you watched the Screen Rant pinch beating of Army of the Dead that I sent you. Did you?
I started watching a little bit of it, and then I couldn't talk. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so they bring that up too. And apparently there's more than one that have like robot skulls. And here's my Sam YouTube recommendation of the week is if you don't go onto the Screen Rant channel and watch the pitch meetings, those things are
hilarious. We'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, because even good movies, they'll go on there and point out some of the dumb things they do or the tropes that they take advantage of. And they mention it's like, we're going to have zombies with mechanical parts. And they go, ooh, what's that all about? They're all, don't worry about it. Just get off my back. And it's kind of one of those things where I was like, oh, I thought I was tripping and that maybe I just saw the light wrong. Like, I didn't even text you about that. And then when I watched this, I'm like, oh,
well, so I that double, is just another I did a double take. Thing. I didn't. Number one, I didn't want to reverse and rewind to watch it again because I was already like at 2 hours and I was like, I'm not watching that again. I think I saw it, but I'm just going to, it kind of made me slightly retarded.
Well, and this felt like a movie that I could, usually I go, there's a half an hour you could cut out in this movie somewhere. And in this one, I can be like, no, I have all the parts I would cut. Why they pretend like Tignataro leaves them behind. Just like she's going to take that plane
that was
off.
I was like,
oh, they left us. Like, yeah, I changed my mind. It was just like, it was such a weird, tough guy.
His daughter's like, oh, I can hear the helicopter. Yeah, no crap. I can too.
And another thing I have to give Screen Rant credit for this is that they take off in the helicopter and yet the vampire is able to go down the building, get on his zombie horse and get to the casino before the helicopter. it's shit like that where it's just super inconsistent. I mean, at one point Dave Bautista like picks up a poker table and like smashes 10 zombies with it. And then later in the movie, he's trying to remove like a mattress from like a doorway.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, why is this not a cinder block?
Look, moving mattresses is no easy feat. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. So that's why we are sponsored this week by Casper Mattress. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We use purple. It's a little bit more flimsy and it wraps around you as you're trying to move it. So it makes it impossible to move. Yeah. The bullet play. I mean, look,
yeah, the shooting prowess of just nearly everybody in the movie is just insane.
Astonishing. Headshot.
Yeah, and it's like, why do they need, if the guy that owns the vault is telling him how to get in there, why do they need to figure out where the booby traps are? He doesn't tell him like, oh, hey, there's three and here's where you step to set them off.
There's this whole psychological portion where they start getting into basically alternate realities. And I didn't realize this. They see dead bodies. And if you look, the one has a necklace that's identical to somebody in their crew. And I'm like, and then they start saying like, this is us.
Yeah, they were wearing the same clothing as some of them. There was a couple. I think there was more than one that was wearing the same. And I don't know if they were at first and he was imagining it. It was a very weird scene to just be like, we're in a loop and blah, blah, blah. And just... I mean, you know, I texted you this. My heart kind of broke for him when that movie was over. Cause I'm like, they had this whole daughter part just shoehorned in of who gives a shit. I mean,
okay. So Sam, your loved one for some reason wants to go into Zombieland and they literally, you know, they don't carry guns. They don't know anything about like, you know, being an operator. And somehow, sure, come on in. And this plot line makes no sense. They find the woman, but she ends up dying at the end because of the helicopter.
Yeah, and they don't even show her die.
No.
They don't. Nothing, you know, no death scene for her. So the whole thing is pointless. It literally just is to get everybody killed, basically, besides her. And I thought about it. You could have tied her to the chain link fence or something. She gets stuck there because nobody finds her. They end up having to rescue her on the way out. And then that's the reason the helicopter crashes and everybody dies anyways. And then she's there at the end and we don't have to helicopter from one thing to the other. It was a whole 30 minutes of just,
let the audience know, like, if you haven't watched this and you are confused by the way in which we're tracking on this, we are not going in any kind of order. And this is what the brain salad that this movie actually kind of makes you do, like, because you start thinking about, like, so now we're giving an offering to one of the zombies in order to walk through the area. Then we find out that zombie happens to be the queen bee of our alpha zombie, and there was literally a zombie baby inside of her, and it had sparkly like blue on it, and then it died, and then that's why they got mad.
Yeah, I just.
I mean, this is in the movie. I feel like when Tony Sinclair tried to explain to me about Suicide Squad, like, this is the kind of thing, like, I was just like, I don't even understand what you're saying to me.
Yeah, and it's just like, hey, get this money for me, and you can keep a quarter of it, and we'll be good. And it turns out they're really there to steal the head of a zombie, and because they want to be able to control zombies, because they think it would be like the most weaponized thing to be able to send these people in and devastate a country, I assume.
That plot point is so, like, razor thin.
And I just was kind of like, maybe the reason it didn't, well, obviously there were people that were there before. So I'm at a loss as to what the, you know, I feel like you could have just hired people to go get that head. You know what? How about that? You walk in right at the beginning, that queen and that tiger are there. You get a bunch of people with nets to grab that queen. And yeah, then like, you drag her back the other side, and then you guys are worth $1 billion, and you don't have to worry about screwing the sharp shooting YouTube star of 200 grand or whatever. Like, that stuff didn't make any sense. Why they had to break into the vault of the guy who owned the vault and had the codes? I don't know. Like,
what? It didn't make any like if you just want the head. Send them in to get the head and give them each $1 million. You're saving money on every end.
And it's like, I love Garrett Dillahunt, the private security guy that goes along with them. He's a great actor, and he's just shady from minute one. And they're just like, you're shady, bro. And he's like, oh yeah. And then he, like, gets people killed, and is just, you know, it's, and then of course when he gets killed, it's so over the top. Like, there's a couple times where I'm like, okay, this is gonna be the part where, like, it chops off his head now or something. It's like, nope, we're gonna tear him up some more. Just like, I honestly, you could cut a half an hour from this in no time. But at the same time, all the criticisms aside, my heart kind of broke for the guy, because it's a story about a dad that has lost, you know, kind of has lost touch with his daughter, and he kind of sacrifices all his friends and all his life and everything just to get her another shot at a fresh start, and he dies at the end, and she has to shoot him in the head. And it's just like, knowing that, you know, he obviously went through this stuff with his family, and he's like, what a, you know, cathartic, hopefully, but also at the same time, like, you know, there's an artist still going through some shit. And
now, Sam, I like the spoilers, because first of all, like, if you aren't spoiled by now, I can't help you. But like, because if you want to watch this movie, then go ahead, because our synopsis of this is so spider webbed out. I mean, it's like a broken windshield.
And it's not all bad.
No, it's not.
I mean, there's some cool shit in it. There's some good action. Like you said, I think, but again, the beginning montage is a little long. You know, there's about five different scenes of planes blowing up zombies that I'm like, okay, well, I don't know why we had to show that many. But, and I didn't understand at first that I was supposed to be paying attention to these character intros until like the second or third one. And I was like, wait a minute, this guy with the buzzsaw that never uses it. He's I know he's in the movie, so I should pay attention to him. I'm like, well, wait, who was that lady before that? I didn't really know who that was. No. You know, they're all showing, holding those pictures of their like dead loved ones or whatever. I, you know, it was again, Zack Snyder can paint a pretty picture.
Okay. Here's the problem as I see it. Okay. You can have a movie and a story that's based on self-sacrifice. And if done well, you can have the audience in tears at the end. I can name a plethora of movies that will bring me to my knees because I am emotionally invested and I understand the sacrifice. However, it becomes, if everything is turned to 11, then where can you go? Ooh. Everybody seemed to have some sort of self-sacrifice story. So how am I supposed to get involved with any of them? Because now you've one-upped, you've tried to one-up, but you're really not one-upping because it's everybody is going to die. And everybody's making this choice of self-sacrifice. And it's just like, okay, you know, it's not helpful. You're like, so I'm not sure what you want for as me as an audience member to actually get out of this. If I'm supposed to feel the pain of losing a daughter, yeah, I guess I got that. But like you did that kind of moment like five other times, and it loses its importance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel you, and I remember one of the things I texted you was I was surprised that I didn't see all of the different I'm 2 days from retirement McBain moments in the movie, you know, like right before this girl dies that I had no idea was a love interest until 7 seconds before she died. Right. It was that like, oh, well, we're going to be happy. And I was like, oh, hey, and it's kind of funny because I knew there was like an hour left and
she gets her head twisted off and her spine comes out of her like clavicle. I was just like, good gosh.
Yeah. In about 2 seconds, she's just not even like maybe dying. She's dead as a doornail and they have to get the fuck out. So, I mean, if you like zombie movies, it's got gore, it's got crazy deaths, it's got zombie tigers, it's got a little, like you said, it's got a little something different because maybe there's some alien DNA in there, maybe there's zombies, but I mean, it's also things like, I feel like there's things in there that we've seen before done better. I know like one of the things I texted you was the part where they're trying to go through all the hibernating zombies.
Okay.
And
trying
not to wake them up.
Very suspenseful at first. And there was a little bit of a double cross.
Yeah. I thought compare that to I Am Legend when Will Smith is looking for his dog and he's using the flashlight very sparingly trying to go through that building with all these, I don't remember. They're kind of zombies, kind of. Vampires,
yeah. That's a whole nother. Yeah. Another ball of wax.
Yeah, but I think at the same time that was like much more. I was like on the edge of my seat, like, where's this fucking dog? We need to get out of here. Dog named Sam, I believe. Yeah.
Well, so. And the funny thing is, I'm playing this game on Xbox right now called DayZ, which is basically a survival game, but it also has zombies inside the game, not hordes, but just a few. And so you don't always know, and you have to walk carefully. And the way in which they did that, with the zombies, is they all kind of bind together. So you never get that feeling of that open world, like what's around the corner. It's almost like video game levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it just, I feel like it had one of those things where sometimes if there was five zombies, it was overwhelming, but then sometimes one guy would be able to hold off 75.
Oh, you're talking about this is Ninja Theory. If you have one ninja, it's super powerful, but if you have 50 ninjas, that you can cut through them like paper.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of that. But I mean, like you said, they obviously were trying to set up some weird stuff, like probably that the government made zombies. There's alien zombies. There's robot zombies. There's a guy that got bit that made it down to Mexico City at the end of the movie, which I was all ready for to give them credit. I was like, hey, the black guy made it, even though totally like, so he's just going to come out with no mask on in the middle of like where a nuclear bomb.
He was also in a vault on the other side of a vault where he couldn't unlock it and a nuke had just dropped. So he definitely has cancer. And so does his daughter because she was in a helicopter that crashed because of the nuke. So everyone has cancer.
I was surprised no EMP. I thought for sure that helicopter was going to going to have an EMP, no power. I was like, oh, here it comes. And no, it just crashed just because shit was going down.
So the whole reason this movie went sideways is because Chris D'Elia was not in it. Apparently. Yeah, that's my theory. That's my going theory right now.
I don't know that that would have saved it, but I could, and I liked Tig Notaro in it.
I did too.
I also could have used 2 to 4 less quips. Like there was definitely one scene where she was chatting with Batista and the love interest. I can't remember her name, whatever. They just were kind of blank staring her while she was spouting off lines.
And you found out what was the reason for that.
Yeah, Batista's never even met her. That was all digital. I think I read that Snyder said that they spent literally millions of dollars putting her into the movie. Like that it cost that much.
I will tell you that compositing, the way in which they did.
Oh, it's not noticeable.
It is really pretty seamless. Mm-hmm. I was impressed. And knowing that Chris D'Elia is far and away taller than Tig Notaro it's impressive. It is an impressive level of band-aids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know, it's funny. I felt that this Tig Notaro was kind of playing a role almost as if she was channeling. I'm blanking on the actor's name, but he's been in a million things. He was in the original Avengers movie when Bruce Banner falls down and lands in that that warehouse, and he's like the warehouse security guard.
Oh, yeah. Internet, go ahead and tell us. I know who you're talking about. I know exactly. Yeah.
Although he's passed away now.
Yeah. It's like Sam something.
Of course, I typed in Avengers warehouse security guard, and there's like company's name. Oh, Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton. There.
Yeah, I almost felt like she was playing like a version of Harry Dean Stanton. Like, yeah, let me just fix this helicopter. Everything's A-okay up
here. Yeah.
Overall, there's some stuff in it that's all right. It's a big action movie on your doorstep. I was thinking about going and seeing it in the theaters.
Aren't you glad you did not pay?
I am indeed, especially because I'm pretty sure we're going to go see A Quiet Place 2 this weekend.
And, okay, there you go.
I think that's a welcome return to the movies.
There you go. There you go.
I think that'll be our first movie back. I'm glad this wasn't it because I was definitely tapping my toes at the 2-hour mark and I knew what was going to happen. I'm like, the stupid daughter has not run away yet. She is going to go run away. And why these ladies and she only are got, still alive?
There were 3 people to get and she only got one of them. The abusive
zombie man that she has to show down with at the end.
And apparently he's something like apparently his parts work because he can get other zombies pregnant.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I mean, these are questions that don't get answered. And
were they saying she was pregnant from the security guard guy?
Okay, the security guard Theo Rossi is in this, and he's like, there's the implication that he's some sort of rapist, but again, I'm just talking about the zombie queen. She has that baby, and he pulls it out of her.
I thought that was from him, that was his baby.
I don't think there's answers that I can give you. I can create answers, but there's nothing definitive in the movie that will tell you exactly how this played out.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of questions. It's the answers aren't satisfying. So
it's probably one of the more frustrating zombie movies, except I didn't get frustrated except by the length. And I just let it kind of just, it's a popcorn movie. Just leave it at that.
There's no big twists. I would say that you're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. You know?
It's like a C minus. Like it is a high production, like B movie.
Yeah, you know, if this was normal times and people were going to the theaters like they used to, you'd say, see a matinee. Wait till it's on VOD.
I feel like maybe it was this movie was spawned from cocaine and mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't. It definitely, again, it's felt like one of those things that a little bit of editing and maybe a one rewrite and we get a little bit more depth, a little more understanding as to what exactly is going on. Maybe, like I said, maybe everybody isn't so like obviously shady when, or like, like everybody's very one note in it for the most part. You know, it's not, there's not these deep characters.
Oh, everyone has their own monotype. That's for sure.
It's so funny. It's like, you blame me for killing your mother. And she's like, no, she was a zombie. You had to do that. He goes, well, what were you mad at about? Well, you didn't talk to me for the rest of my life. So I thought, it's like, oh, that pissed you off. So it's just kind of stupid shit where it's like, oh, this could have been handled with a conversation 10 years ago. Or whatever, however long. Yeah, I mean, how long has Vegas been like this? Do you have any idea? Has it been 6 months? Has it been a year? Has it been 10 years? Like,
I don't know, but you know,
they obviously had people like fighting their way out for periods of time and barely getting out.
But everybody was acting like it was post-apocalypse outside of Vegas. And I was like, but wait a minute, it seems like everything's fine. It's just Vegas that's fucked up.
Yeah, it was weird. Like they somehow, I mean, I guess they contained it to Vegas. And that's the funny thing is, for it being Vegas, there was a lot of times where it was like showing down a broken portion of Vegas, and I had no idea what that casino was or
what. Oh, that cost money. Now, Sam, that cost money. You can't just, you know,
we did use some fake casino names, correct? You know, we went to Bly's casino. I was like, I don't know if I heard of that one. I mean, I'm not quite the Vegas head I was when I was in my 20s, but I was going to say, I don't think I've heard of some of these.
Yeah, and going to Olympus. Oh, okay. So it's not Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, so, which I don't know why that would even really cost money. Like, wouldn't they rather be featured than in a movie than not? But I don't know. Who knows when it comes to these big brands what they really value or what the, you know. That was one thing is that I thought I noticed that the Taka, I forget who the casino owner guy's name is. I love the actor, but.
Well, he's the guy that plays freaking, what's his face?
Scorpion.
Yeah,
he. Oh God, what was I going to say about him? Oh, I think he was using an iPhone. And so usually you can't be the bad guy if you're using an iPhone. But I wasn't 100% sure. I look like an iPhone, but I think maybe just the screen looked like one, and maybe
it was Huawei.
Yeah. Who knows? So
you're all right.
Yeah, but you know, apparently you're supposed to understand everything that's going on just because there's generals in the room when he's on the phone. Sam.
All right, we cannot go any further on this.
No, I'm exhausted on it. I can't. It's
I mean, I could probably go on because like there are things you could pick apart, but at the end of the day, you're either going to watch it or you're not. And if watch it, just watch it for the experience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's not worth watching, but
it's not worth watching.
Yeah, but even a friend of mine who likes most of these genre stuff, he was like, that was boring.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you there. So
anyway, turn to MODOK. I think there'll be a little bit more to it. And don't watch it straight through. Don't be that person. Don't binge it out. Break it up a little bit because it can be overwhelming. And it give yourself a little breathing room. Go outside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you do watch it, immediately go watch that Screen Rant video.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you'll feel cathartic. You'll be like, okay, I'm not crazy. They did not explain a lot of this.
All right, ladies and gents, we are going to wrap things up. And in the show notes, I put it in the last episode, and I may be doing some fine tweaking with it, but if you have a little opportunity for you to kind of interact with the show, a little Google form that just to pull just your thoughts on shows that maybe hidden gems or things that we haven't seen, things that you might want us to take a look at. Give it a shot. Give it a little little data in there. We're not mining any data. Well, of course we are, but no, we're not. We just want to, you know, just kind of interact with all of you, and feel free to do that. As always, you can reach us on Twitter and tell us all the things that we got wrong and how much you really loved Army of the Dead because you didn't, and that you're a liar.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's my throw out for everybody this week is that Kevin Bacon said he wants to join Marvel, and so I want to hear what people think he should do, because I mean he has been Sebastian Shaw and was really good at it. But I feel like Marvel has shown they're not afraid to pull somebody, an actor from an old thing, and either use them again or put them in something new. So I haven't really come up with a good idea. I feel like he's a very good actor that could play a lot of different things.
Would you make him Galactus or Dr. Doom?
You think he's still got the body for Silver Surfer?
I like that a lot, and I think he does.
Yeah, he could play, you know, I think
he has the angular face for Norn Rad.
Mm-hmm. And I think he could play very kind of mystic and mysterious type of thing.
Yeah, I'm down with that. All right, Sam, we can't go down this path. We got to wind it down.
But I want to hear what everybody else has to say. If you got a good one, you know, 7 degrees of MCU, bring it on to us.
Sounds good. Sam, we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.